200 years of tequila history and tradition. And tonight, we're going to talk to Pedro Camarena, and we're going to talk about Primo. And we're going to talk about where Primo is today, that it's back in the market, the changes that Pedro has done, and making this tequila himself in a traditional way. Stick around. This interview is awesome. It's Tasting Tequila with Brad. All right. Today, we have a treat. We have Pedro Camarena here, the owner of Primo Tequila, one of my favorite brands that disappeared and now it's back. And he's going to tell us that whole story. How you doing tonight, Pedro?
I'm really, really well, bro. Thanks for receiving me.
Anytime. You could come right here and sit at my bar anytime you want to, and we'll have these discussions. I love it. I appreciate you taking your time to do this.
Yeah, so, I'll take your word.
If you could, for the people who don't know Primo and don't know who you are, give a little bit of your background. Who is Pedro Camarena? Where are you from? Kind of all of that stuff first.
So I'm Pedro Camarena. I'm the sixth generation, so my name has been passed down for more than 200 years. For the people that don't know the history of the Camarenas, where their tequila legacy started, the first Pedro Camarena, he was born not in Arandas, Jalisco, but in Teuchitlán, Jalisco, that is to the south or near the Valley of Tequila. And he was actually the first first Camarena to bring the agave, the blue agave, to the highlands of Jalisco. Then he had a son. He named it also Pedro Camarena, the second generation. And he was the first to build a tequila tavern. It wasn't called tequila back then. It was more like a vino mezcal taberna, but it was from made with the blue agaves that they had brought. And that distillery or that tavern was burned down during the Mexican Revolution. But he was essentially also the one who started the tequila production in that region. He had 21 kids, so 18 daughters and 3 sons. And most of the people that drink tequila know about the Camarenas. Well, thanks to the second generation Pedro Camarena, there's the Camarena tequila dynasty, as some of you guys call it. He was father to Agustin Camarena, the founder of La Arandina. He was the father to Felipe Camarena, the founder of La Alteña Distillery. And he was the father of my great-grandfather, the third generation Pedro Camarena, founder of El Gallito Distillery. So El Gallito Distillery is the original distillery of Cazadores. Sadly, when my father, I was the one who reconnected the tequila side of our branch, of the Camarena branch. So my grandfather passed away when my father was really young. And when my great-grandfather passed away, he left the stock of the distillery to my grandmother, but my grandmother wasn't really a businesswoman or anything. So they bought her out of the distillery. And then I joined again with the help of my father to reconnect that part of the legacy and that branch of tequila distillers.
That is so awesome. Like, the history and tradition of tequila is always so interesting to me, and how deep the families go and how important these families are to tequila. That is very cool. Thanks for sharing that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really nice to be able to reconnect again with the tequila, because it feels like I have found my passion. And even though they passed me down the name and they passed me down like the family ring, if you can see it. But now it has a lot more meaning. You know, it's not just the name. It's not just the ring. Now I'm putting blood, sweat, and tears into Primo and into bringing it to the market. And it's more for me than a business. Is more of a honoring all that legacy that we have carried for more than 200 years, essentially.
It's going to be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it. When did you really first fall in love with drinking tequila? When did you know, gosh, I just love tequila?
drinking tequila since I was 16 years old. We used to go to parties and start drinking a few tequilas, and even in family reunions, my father or some uncles sometimes gave us a little bit of tequila. But yeah, it's tequila always has been my favorite spirit. And when I reconnected with Primo, it was because my father and I, we were talking with Felipe Camarena, my uncle from El Pandillo. And we used to joke with him like, oh, Felipe, you were the lucky one, the one that inherit like the money, the business and all, like, you know, the part of the tequila. And he was like, well, you should come in and I will help you build your brand. And so at the beginning, it was more of a, I saw it like a way to learn about the craft and the industry. And then I just fall in love with the process of making tequila. It's kind of, I really like also to cook. So I see it more as a, that same passion that you feel when someone has a, like the seasoning that you call it, when mm-hmm. you're cooking and like that, I kind of feel it more intense when I'm making the tequila, you know? So yeah, I essentially been in the industry for now a little bit over 6 years, I will say. So yeah, it's not so much, but it's been a lot in that process.
What did you do before you were in the tequila industry?
So before the tequila industry, if I go a few years back, I was more in software development. And after I finished, so I studied creation and business development, and I had a really close friend there, Mario, and we were partners in a software, like entrepreneurship or a software idea that we wanted to do. We were developing the idea. We had already interest on clients, on like big corporate clients. But then sadly, I was more focused on like the project development and the front end with the business. Mario was more on the back end developing the software. He had an accident and sadly he passed away. I never asked him any passwords or anything, and I couldn't continue with the idea. So it was kind of a break moment in my life where I was like, okay, we have worked so many years into development this software, and now it's like I lost a friend. I lost the business, I didn't care. I was more sad about the passing of Mario. And then in the meantime, I went into real estate and started doing business there. And then the opportunity opened up with the tequila, and I just felt like I was born for this. You know, it was an instant passion. And I'm sad about the way kind of life brought me this way, but I'm happy where I am now.
Would you say working in the business development and the things that you did in those early businesses has helped you understand a little more about taking the juice from a bottle and into a business versus if you hadn't done that before?
I will say so. I think the experience on these 6 years they have always been of learning and making mistakes and having open doors, closed doors, and getting no's and getting slowly learning an industry from zero, not just an industry of how to make the tequila, how to make the like the brand, how to distribute or import and that. It has helped me a lot, but I feel like I'm like a really easy learner and a passionate learner. So when I go into something, I go all in. So I definitely think that it has helped me a lot, but I'm still learning and I still have ways to go into not just the business side, but also the tequila side. And that's what I actually love the most, you know, that every single year or every single month, everything, like there's new stuff happening that I have to resolve or that I have to learn. So it's been really nice.
That's awesome. And it's great to have some family that are there to help guide you as well, that have been through some of those challenges. So yeah. Primo started at El Pindio. And how many years did you produce at El Pindio?
It was only 2 years at El Pindio. So essentially, I think we launched on 2022. And then it was 2022 to 23. And we left 2 years ago. So a lot of people ask me like why I left, being one of the greatest distilleries out there. And there were a few reasons, but I think that the most important one, I always told Felipe and I always told my father and everyone that I saw myself being more involved in the process, having one day my own distillery. So there were a few things 2 years ago that pushed me into making the hard decision of leaving a really good distillery, kind of that gives you certainty in your business, and leaving that comfort into exploring my own ideas of production, exploring a whole bunch of stuff that I want to do with Primo and essentially grow also the lineup. So yeah, it's been rough, but I'm really glad I make the decision, because it has been a learning curve, and we have learned so much stuff on these 2 years that we were actually out of the market, but we kept pushing. And yeah, it's nice to be back.
So how hard was it to find a new distillery and start up at 1639? Is it El Grupo?
Yeah, it's called Grupo Peña Blanca de Los Altos. So it's 1639. It was hard to find a distillery in the sense of, so we had a lot of open doors for distilleries because, I mean, Primo is a really beautiful brand. I love it. I love the bottle, the cap, the quality of the spirit. So there were a lot of brands interested in working with us, but the distilleries are a little bit more jealous into you having your own take and being hands-on on the process. And that was one of the main reasons that I left El Pandillo. Like I wanted to be in charge of the process, being hands-on. Grupo Peña Blanca was the only distillery that told us, you can bring your own equipment, you can be there and do it yourself. Obviously, with the help of the people at the distillery, like Polly, Moy, Alexis, and some other guys, it's just a few people there. But it was the only distillery that let me bring my own equipment and let me kind of make the recipe for Primo, you know? And that, for me, that was the most important part, because I see, like, when you want to put your own signature in your bottle, and when you want to kind of learn, not just make a brand and push it into the market and make a business, when you want to actually learn how to make tequila and make it yourself, it's really, really important to be able to be hands-on on the process, make the decisions. Sometimes will be the right decisions, so sometimes will be the wrong decisions, but you have to make them and you have to learn by doing it. So I'm really thankful to Grupo Peña Blanca, because it's like this guy just bringing his own fermentation vats, his own copper stills, his own barrels to age, his own bottling line and stuff like that. It isn't easy, but I'm really happy to be able to do it, because now I'm starting to learn way more quickly. And I see that I'm on the correct path to having in the midterm, like my own distillery, you know? I essentially already have like half of the distillery at Grupo Peña Blanca. I just have to start building and rebuild the equipment. And yeah, I don't know if I understood myself fine, but yeah.
So one of the things I was going to ask you, because I was there at that distillery in February, and they had just brought in these brand new wood fermentation tanks, and they were all full of water and leaking all over the floor. And they said they were curing these fermentation tanks. And I have a feeling those happen to work with you, don't they?
Yeah, those are my fermentation vats. So if you saw two only, those were the brand new ones for the testing that we were doing with the profile. At the end, we ended up buying two more. So now we ferment using four oak wooden vats. When we left El Pandillo, I didn't want to replicate the process that we had at El Pandillo. I wanted to change a few things. So, for example, Primo at El Pandillo was made with spring water. The extraction was with the molienda, the tajona, the molienda. Mm-hmm. And then the fermentation was 80% stainless steel vats and 20% pine wood vats, and then copper distill. So now Grupo Peña Blanca, the cooking method is the same, is stone brick Mansory ovens. Then the extraction that changed now is roller mill. Hopefully in the future, when I have my distillery, is going to be again Tahona, but currently it's roller mill. And the fermentation, which is one of them, or the process that affects the most the flavor and the taste of the tequila, I wanted to move from pine wood to 100% oak and oak wood and 100% wood fermentation. So that was one of the main changes that we had. And the distillation on the first one is stainless steel with copper coil, and the second one is copper steel. And I do 100% of all the distillation. So I go for days and just nonstop distill all primo.
Wow, that's awesome. So you then brought in a copper still then as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then once you're done, distillation's over, are you letting it rest for a certain period of time before you go to bottling?
Yeah. Well, on this one, it was a little bit more rest than we wanted because we were getting the vinculation done between the distillery and the warehouse where we were going to do the bottling, because I just saw the distillery is really packed and it didn't have much space to do. So me and my wife and a nephew, we set up like a bottling line in a warehouse also from the distillery and did also the bottling ourselves. And Primo was rested, I think this time for like 4 or 5 months around that period. In more common or standard practices, usually will be rested for like 2 months, 3 months before bottling. And that part of the batch went for the Hyper Blanco, the one that is closest to you. Then we have the Blanco, the standard, the 40%. And then for the Reposado, it was also aged in brand new barrels. It was hybrid barrels with American oak body and French oak heads.
So tell me, how did you come up with the name Primo?
So Primo, a lot of people think that it means, or it came because of the relationship of my father and Felipe, like Primo is cousin, but it has a lot of meanings. The biggest one for Primo is it comes from the Latin primus, which means to be the first or the original. So, you know, when you're the first, you plant your flag. That's why we have in the cap. Let me just take it out. So I'm going to get it closer. So on the cap, we have a flag in the agave to represent that first Pedro Camarena that brought the blue agave to the highlands of Jalisco. And it's on fire to represent that first tequila distillery or tequila tavern that got burned down during the Mexican Revolution. So that's why Primo, essentially like the first or the original.
And then the 1861?
1861 was the year of the birth of the second Pedro Camarena. So the first Pedro Camarena was born in 1819, and the second Pedro Camarena was born on the 1861.
I can smell this from the glass. Like, as soon as I poured it, I can smell a great cooked agave and even some minerality from a distance. That's really amazing. And, you know, a lot of people don't know about this distillery, but there's some good things that are coming out of this distillery and a couple of master distillers working out of there too that have a good history there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the distillery is really open to working with people external from the distillery. So I'm really, like, you had Oscar Vasquez Camarena, which a lot of people know, working there, I think, with a brand called En El Alma. Mm-hmm. Then you have the one Prestigio 18. And yeah, they're really open for us to be there and work on our own brands and do our own stuff.
The drive to the distillery is awesome. Like, when we were going there, our driver, we gave him a coordinates. You know, Ivan just gave us a coordinates. And our driver's like, are you sure? And we're like, yep, just keep going. And we were going out into the middle of nowhere. And then we came upon the distillery as the sun was setting. And as the sun set across the mountains and those agave fields, I mean, it was one of the most picturesque, beautiful places to be. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the location is beautiful. I like, for example, when I'm distilling there night, like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., I'm alone with Alexis, like distilling, to go out and you see like all these agaves with the moonlight, and it sounds like really romantic, but it actually looks like a beautiful landscape. And the silence, like a really calm silence on the night, it's great. Yeah, it's beautiful.
I didn't get to experience it at 3 a.m, but we didn't leave there until probably 10 or 11 o'clock at night. You know, so the sun had gone down. There were just a couple of dogs that were chasing us around the parking lot as we all talked and headed into Jesus Barria to get some food. And it was full moon, you know, so we went from this beautiful sunset to this full moon.
Yeah.
Just amazing. And if anybody, if you've never been to Mexico and you've never seen the beauty of Mexico, I implore everybody to go. It's just really beautiful. This is amazing, dude. This is, to me, it's still primo. I still have all of the flavors that I got in primo.
Yeah.
I definitely pick up more of that appearance of the wood in this flavor. So it's got to be coming from fermentation. It's got a great sweetness, a great minerality. It's got a really nice citrus. I get a little bit of cinnamon in the finish. Like, this is really good. And I didn't look at what ABV it was. I just poured it. What ABV is this one?
That one is 50 ABV. So 100 proof.
It doesn't drink like 100 proof, but the mouthfeel is great. And the legs on the glass, I mean, the oils that are left in this are phenomenal. Like, you knocked it out of the park, dude.
Thanks.
You got a whole legacy of history that just made a fantastic tequila.
Yeah. I mean, I'm extremely happy with the result of like every bottle and presentation. It was such a hard work, like these 2 years bringing it back. But I felt confident with the quality of Primo. Like it's, I didn't want it to be just a pretty bottle or the nice bottle with the nice cap. I actually wanted to have like the best quality tequila that I could make, you know, because I'm essentially honoring 200 years of history. You will try to honor it the best way possible.
And a family name that is so well known, right? I mean,
yeah,
you have one of the most well-known names in tequila. And it's what I find refreshing about the Camarena name is you have the birth of tequila and you have the Cuervos and the Salzas and the Orondines and the Camarenas is right there in that group. But all of those other ones I've mentioned have sold or changed the way that tequila, and I left the Salzas out of there. They've changed the way their tequila is made. And there are some family members that are out there that like Jimmy Salza, who's honoring, you know, original tequila Guillermo. Yeah. You know, there's those names out there, but the Camarena family has been here forever and kept this quality and kept true to tradition and roots. And I really appreciate you doing that as well, because there's definitely an easy way to make a money grab, and it's much harder to create a great product. So great job for doing that. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and it was one of the most important talks that we have when doing Primo, like knowing until like, where we stop on the volume of Primo. Like right now it's not even small batch. I call it more like a micro batch, because we just release a few thousand cases a year and that's it right now. Like our capacity of production is limited, because I go choose the agave, measure the bricks, bring it to the distillery, do the cooking, supervise fermentation, do the distilling by myself, then my wife, my nephew, and I bottle every single bottle of Primo. Like every single cap in Primo is placed by my hand. Wow. We did 18,000 bottles the past year, and every single cap was placed by me. Then with my nephew, I put together the pallets and I load the truckloads. But I enjoy it way more being like that, you know, like I enjoy being there. And a lot of people tell me like, yeah, one day you will have health, of course. And I want to be able to give jobs essentially and be Primo, like grow it. But I will also grow it to a point where, like, you know, like when you have quality of life and you can support your family and you can support the families of your employees, and you only need to do, I don't know, to say a number, like 24 truckloads a year and that's it, then probably that's it. You know, I don't see myself making Primo into one of those huge volume brands. And I prefer to be more personal and to enjoy it. And then the business side, it will come a little bit by little. But yeah, I actually see Primo being one of those that it's a limited production every single year, and that's it. And as long as I'm being involved and I actually want to be able to distill it for the longest that I can, like distill 100% of Primo myself until one day probably I have to teach someone else. But yeah, like I want it to be really, really personal.
Wow. But so are you hand labeling all these too then, right?
Yeah. Well, no, the label now, it was taking us like 2 weeks just to make one pallet to put all the labels. We did one for Canada like that. My wife and I did every single label and then putting the like the plastic on the cap. Yeah, and like just the two of us. And we sent that and I told my wife like, we're never going to be able to send a truckload like this to the USA, like, and that's kind of why it took us a little bit, like 2 years, because first it was all the change of the distillery, setting up the equipment, finding the profile. And then it was, so I had to, we changed the importer for the USA. So I was like, okay, this is now an opportunity for myself to make my own company in the USA. I get my importer's permit and now I import myself. But it was learning that side that I didn't knew. And so we're doing everything from choosing the agave all the way to importing to the USA. It's just a team of my wife, my nephew, and my sister is helping me now with the part of the USA because it was a lot of work to do it. But after we did that pallet for Canada, I told my wife, like, okay, I have to buy a semi-automatic line to bottle. Because if not, Primo will never go back to the USA. It's going to take us too much time. So we have to still do a lot of things by hand, but it's quicker with the bottling line, yeah.
So how many tries did it take for you to get the profile that you were looking for and to get your profile to taste as much like Primo that it does?
It was only 2 tries. So when I bought the fermentation vats, we did one run of 100% wood and one run of 50% wood fermentation and 50% stainless steel fermentation. We tasted like the different profiles. And a story behind like why I actually went and bought the 2 extra vats was, so my sister has a house in Ajijic. So every time that I went to Ajijic, I used to visit Remy. I don't know if you had the opportunity to meet Remy, but I brought her some samples of Primo and I told her like, okay, Remy, like take your time, try it, let me know like what you think and just get back to me whenever you can. She was like, yeah, I will send you my notes. And like, she wrote me a messenger and she was like, wow, with like 100% wood. She told me, because on the talks, I told her, I'm seeing if I buy another 2 vats or because I was low on cash flow after so many time without Primo on the market, like you start running low on your cash flow. So I told her, I don't know if I want to release like the 50% wood, the 50% stainless steel, let me know, or should I just get a loan and buy 2 extra vats? And after she tried them, she was like, you have to get the 2 extra vats. Like the 100% wood fermentation is, she told me, it's the only way they won't question you leaving El Pandillo. Mm-hmm. Because for her, it was like a statement like, okay, this is what I want to do. And so I took her advice and took a pause in releasing Primo and redo like everything again and started again with the other 2 vats to be able to make Primo 100% wood fermented.
I know it's because we're talking about it as I'm tasting it, you know, so that power of suggestion, right? If you told me, oh, we did this in orange tanks, I would taste nothing but orange, right? That's how the brain works. But I've had some other 100% wood fermented tequilas and I always get this different wood flavor in the finish. But in yours, it is really an oak finish. Like it is like an oaky wood taste that you would get in like an aged tequila, but you get that, like the more I drink it, the more I know we're talking about it too. So that power of suggestion, but I really do get that. It is really good. It's crazy good.
Thanks. I actually, and I like it more than the pine wood because I didn't want to get pine for fermentation because I feel like the resins on the pine wood kind of bitters a little bit the profile on the tequila, and it feels like bitter we call it like amargo in the mouthfeel. And so I wanted to go, like, we were investing so much in the quality of Primo, like, okay, what are like a really good quality bats for fermentation? It's oak. And even for, yeah, it's, we don't take kind of corners or shortcuts into when we invest in our equipment for Primo, like we want to make it with the best that we can find because, yeah, it's, I feel like the end result in the profile, it's really, it speaks of that, you know, of that quality.
Agree. Now, is it Mexican oak, American oak? What kind of oak did they use to make the tanks?
This is American oak.
It's American oak? Okay. Because it's illegal to harvest oak in Mexico, right?
Well, I think there are some certified like forests for the oak. Mexican oak. But yeah, it's more difficult to source it. I don't know, like if I didn't even try to kind of source it, but when we were speaking, like I was so surprised also with the, like the aging of, and the results of the barrels that I wanted to also ferment on American oak.
So people get a picture of what these fermentation vats look like. How many liters and how big are these fermentation tanks?
So each vat, it's 10,000 liters, and it will be essentially, I think, almost 2 meters in diameter, and like 2.5 meters tall. So there are big, but there are not that big. Like, I don't know if you have seen the vats at Tequila Ocho, like the 20,000 liter wooden vats, like are massive. This one's a little bit smaller, but with four of those, we're able to ferment one whole oven of agave, like the 20 tons of the agave in the oven, we can ferment 100% on wood.
And then if I remember right, it's like a 4 or 5 pass roller mill right in front of the stone oven, right?
It's a 4 pass, yeah. A roller mill, yeah.
Yeah, and I like the way the distillery was laid out. You have the big oven and then right into roller mill and then fermentation right across from that and then distillation right at the end. And it seemed like it had a nice flow to the way that it worked.
Yeah, it's super lineal. Like if you enter and just walk straight, you will go through all the process of the tequila, like the oven to your left, then the fermentation to the right, and then the molienda, the extraction to the left, like the roller mill, and at the end, yeah, the distillation. But it's just one big like walk.
And I think Americans picture these places where you make tequila, and in their mind, it's a factory, you know, a big, big, massive facility. In America, we do everything giant, right? So when you go visit some of the distilleries like Jack Daniel's or Jim Beam or Maker's Mark, these are giant facilities that you go into, and people don't understand that I've been to this distillery. You could fit it in my garage, like in my barn area, the distillery would fit there. And I tell people that, and they're like, no way. And I'm like, yeah, way. It's not like this massive factory. It is a very traditional, small way of making tequila. And it's, I think that's one of the coolest things about tequila in itself, that it's,
yeah,
it can be made in that mass production way, but the people that we like are doing it like this is really cool. I have a question about your flag and the agave on your cap. Did you come up with this logo on your own?
Well, no, we were working with a friend of mine. So way, way back, I used to work as a photographer in a marketing company also, like before actually getting into the university. And so one of my friends there, he's a designer, really good designer. So we essentially ended up working with him, and we gave him like the whole history about like Primo, where he come from, like the name and what it means. And he came up with like, okay, like Primo from the Latin primus, like the first original. So that's when you put the flag, and we were like extremely happy with the result of the, not just of the flag, but also the one of the agave also on fire. I really, really like that. Yeah. Yeah, that one is really nice.
The whole production screams quality and elegance. I remember the first time I found a bottle, it was about a year ago, and I was at a Total Wine, and I already had a cart full of stuff, and I walked past and I seen it. I backed up. I took three bottles out of my cart. I put the only two bottles that were there in my cart and brought them home. And I just finished that last bottle like 6 months ago. And then I seen a message that you're back, and I was so excited. So we got a high proof. We got the Blanco. We got the Repo. Is there anything else that's coming up in the future? Or are you going to keep it at these three for a while?
So I'm opening this month six barrels only for an añejo. So everything takes us a little bit more time, and it has to be a little bit more patience with Primo, because since we're starting from brand new barrels for the reposado or the like the age profiles, we have to take it a little bit more slower. So for the Primo reposado, like at the beginning with the brand new barrels, we will age it for like 2 months, because the barrel is going to be really quick in the how it impacts the profile and the flavor. So it's just 2 months. And then the second time we use it is going to be around like 4 months, 5 months, then 8 months, 9 months. But on that period, you're already over a year. And then those barrels are going to move into the añejo, but then you need 12 months. More months, and we're going to use them one more time for an añejo or something else before it can even go into an extra añejo. So for Primo to complete its own like the whole lineup of that, the ones that are missing are like the añejo and the extra añejo, is going to be a couple more years. Like right now we're going to release only six barrels, so it's, as I said, it's just like a micro batch. It's not even a small batch, because that like a six barrel, it's essentially like a special edition for any other brand, but
right.
Six barrels for Primo is like the regular lineup. So it's your kind big of five. Funny. Yeah.
But I still think you should put a sticker on them that say six barrels. I think that would be pretty cool to have a Primo six barrels. So then are you going to recycle the Añejo back to be a Repo barrel? Or are you just going to stick with new for the Repo?
For the Repo, we're going to continue like the first use, it's always from brand new barrels, but then the reposados are going to be from like reused barrels, but just from Primo. It's not, it doesn't have nothing else, because I wanted to actually release a like a pure tequila, you know, like just aged tequila, and that's it. You don't have the impact or the influence or of any other spirit. So we're going to use those barrels for the reposados, but we have to be able to keep growing our age lineup. We have to keep buying in the future a little bit more barrels, and those have to be brand new, like from without anything else. And there are also like really expensive, like a lot of people don't know, but you see a lot of bourbon barrels with tequila, because bourbon barrels are really cheap. So, you know, bourbon, you can only use once those barrels, and they send them for a few, like $100 here to Mexico. So that's why a lot of distilleries buy them. And that's why the tequila market has been overwhelmed with just reposados on ex-bourbon barrels. And with Primo, instead of like saving a few coins and buying a $100 used barrel, each Primo barrel is like $1,500. It's way more expensive. It takes a little bit more time for us to get the money going, buy barrels and keep, like it's way more slower the way we bring Primo into the market, because we're limited. Like I was joking with Felipe, like we didn't inherit any of the money of the tequila. So we kind of have to start with a really low budget, and we go step by step. But yeah, I like it, and I have enjoyed way more like this process being like this and taking our time. And I like it because even though, like also, for example, let me show you the ring. Like on the ring, it's, let's see if you can, the camera can get it. Oh, but it's like, so the ring in the middle, it has this glass clock of like sand clock. And I like it
like because it's kind
of an hourglass. Yeah. So okay. I gave it the meaning like, okay, everything takes its time, and when it's done, it's done, and when it's ready, it's ready. So we won't rush it. And We want to enjoy more the process of doing it. And if it's only 6 barrels of añejo and then you don't see another añejo for one more year, then that's the way it has to be, you know, like we're going to slowly grow, but without losing the focus on the quality and like the personal touch with Primo.
Well, that also makes all of us really nerdy tequila people really look for those 6 barrels and want to get our hands on as many bottles as possible. I appreciate it and I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to release it at the price that it has to be. Like it's, for sure. Example, now also with the change of the distillers, I'm really happy because I feel more comfortable also at the price point that Primo is releasing, like below 60s, like the or more, it's like $58, $59 in most of the states where it is right now. For the regular Blanco, the Reposado is going to be around like $65, $68, and the Blanco also a few couple dollars more. Instead of before, it was at a really high price point, and I didn't like to be so high on the price. I actually see it that now, even though it's like really limited, that people actually have to try to find it and look for it just to be able to like to taste it. Right. But it's at an affordable price without losing quality and in the bottle and in the spirit.
Now that's even more to explain to people of the price point that it's at and how limited it really is and how special that it really is. So I get that. And I appreciate you doing that because you could have came out with your name and the trust that people already have in the brand and brought it out as a $100 Blanco and we would have been out there buying it, right? So I appreciate you looking at the, you know, where the people are today and what makes the tequila move off this shelf. And we are seeing a move to lower prices on things, and you've done a great thing there. So what states can people find you in right now?
So right now we're at California, we're at Kansas, Missouri. We're going to start next year, at the beginning of next year, at Arizona, Texas, Florida, and Colorado. Hopefully we open also next year, Illinois, and New York, and New Jersey. And probably I will stay just there for a few years or a couple of years, because since I cannot produce that much, I don't want to overgrow or like Primo and but it's even in those states, it's just in a more specialized liquor stores or restaurants or bars. It's not like everywhere right now.
Can people find you online to purchase it online?
Yeah, so they can buy it at tequilaprimo.com, and we have shipping to most of the U.S. There's just a few states that we cannot ship legally, but most of the states, And they will find it at the same price point.
And social media? Is there a Primo social media page?
So Instagram is tequila.primo, and in Facebook, they can find us at tequilaprimo.
Okay, YouTube or TikTok?
No, we don't have YouTube or TikTok.
Not yet. I don't like TikTok anyway. So, and you have a great Instagram page too. So they can, what's your handle for someone can find you?
They can find me like Jeppe. I just did actually a new one just for like the tequila side. That is Jeppe. So it's GEPPE.Camarena at Instagram.
I will put all of those in the description of the video. Yeah. And I want to say cheers. This high proof is amazing. I want to say thank you for doing this with me tonight and taking your time, sharing your tequilas. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. Hope you enjoy it.
Salud.
Salud.
Excellent interview.